Good evening. Tonight's subject, as you can see, is decision-making, and of course we've been talking about that right from the start with regard to one's relationship to the market and to others and so forth. But tonight we want to break down the mechanics of a decision to its component parts and construct some formulas to aid in taking any apparently difficult decision and making it much more easy to come up with the most profitable alternative to you. Let's begin by looking at this brief review chart. And we can see that it contains three of the four premises upon which this course was based, and it's not that the other premise, happiness is relative, is not important. It's just that these three points will have particular significance tonight. We want to continually remind ourselves that mental well-being is the object. Happiness is the object, and nothing else. Everything else in life is merely a means to that end. And of course, you control only yourself. And because of that, you must accept other individuals as they are, and then either deal with them or reject them. As we go along, we'll of course see that there are ways in which you have an influence on other people's lives as you make available alternatives that were not available to them before. But the final decision in every case will always rest with the other individual as to what he will do with the effect that you have had on his life by entering it and making available alternatives that would not otherwise be available. So you accept people as they are, and then either deal with them or reject them. This doesn't mean you have to accept anybody that comes along and put up with them, but you choose between the people that you want to deal with. You want 100 people to associate with, then you don't just take the first 100 people that come along and try to change them to conform to what you want. Instead, you spend your energy looking for the 100 people that most nearly conform to the kind of people you want to deal with. And of course, lastly, we have not spent too much time so far examining the implications of the fact that resources are limited. Your resources are your time, energy, and knowledge, and anything you have traded them for. But tonight we'll have occasion to look at some ways in which this premise can be overlooked in practice, causing you, therefore, to pervert your decisions and not get the hoped-for result. In fact, the important thing about self-evident truths is that they can be overlooked very easily in practice. They can be accepted very easily academically. But when they form the basis of organized material like this, the importance often comes in just harking back over and over again to these self-evident truths and showing how they actually apply in practice, that you must accept them as being right in every situation or they're not going to be of any value to you. Now, before constructing specific decision-making formulas, I'd like to lay a little bit of groundwork, beginning with a summing up of where we stand so far with regard to the concept of happiness. I'm hoping that with 2 weeks behind us now, you're beginning to see this thing called happiness in a much more tangible light than it is usually presented, at least more tangible than it's ever been presented to my knowledge. Once again, it's very easy to say that whatever anybody is seeking is happiness. Whatever anybody is doing is happiness for them because they are doing what they want to do. Yes, every individual is doing what he wants to do because he's choosing among the alternatives available to him. And so it's very easy to come to the conclusion then that he is doing what makes him happy because he's doing it. So obviously it makes him happy. Or that happiness is whatever the individual happens to be seeking. But if any of these things were true, the logical conclusion would be that everyone is happy all of the time because everyone is doing what he wants to do all of the time. And if that were true, there would be no value in a course like this or any form of self-improvement. And so naturally I refuse to accept that premise. The fact of the matter is simply that most people do not get the happiness that they seek in the decisions that they make. The courses of action they pursue do not bring them the happiness they anticipated in advance, but it doesn't change the fact that they are seeking happiness. No matter how people attempt to postulate various goals as the meaning of life, no matter what they tell you that you should want in life, there's no mistaking the fact that the goal of it all is the mental state of well-being. And everything the individual does is designed to bring about this or to eliminate a sense of uneasiness or anxiety from his mind. Now, this then, of course, is what I've defined as happiness, the mental feeling of well-being. And it is a very real thing. There is nothing illusory about it. There's nothing mysterious or mathematical about it. Happiness is a positive state of consciousness. You either have it or you don't at any given time. It's a single concept. There's no question at any time as to whether or not a particular feeling of well-being is really happiness or some mistaken false concept. The feeling of well-being does exist. Now, this means that if a man takes a euphorious drug, for example, he experiences happiness.